You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
Rumors spreading around, United takes his time. Right there, check outside the game.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 038 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. I'm Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson, co-host Brad the White Shadow Jones. I love this song. There's nothing wrong with letting that song play. I feel like you're on an open robe. Well, maybe your robe's open.
Hey-o!
You gotta be on an open road somewhere, just cruising. I feel like it's been a while since you and I have just sat down and just been able to enjoy the podcast.
Enjoy you making random inappropriate references to start off the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while. How have you been? How's life? We saw each other earlier last week, but it was short.
Yeah, you kind of ran out on me.
I cried
a little.
I know what happens.
But, no, life's good. It was getting nice, and then it got cold, but it's supposed to get nice again.
Crap.
We're supposed to have softball practice tonight.
Oh, I love softball.
Yeah.
God, I'm on a softball team this year. Thanks for asking me if I want to play with you again.
No, there was a reason I didn't ask.
Yeah, it's
no, that wasn't an accident. That wasn't anything that slipped my mind.
Well, maybe you should ask. I'm actually pretty talented. Don't laugh. Have you ever seen me play?
Sorry. I've seen you play basketball.
Yeah, and I'm better than you at it.
Oh, you
know I am.
No, that's not accurate at all.
That is accurate.
That's not accurate.
That is accurate.
Well, we need to. Okay, that's happening, and you're losing.
Well, you know who would be an impartial judge? Who I think the more we mention him, the more we're probably gonna have to get him on the show is your brother.
Oh yeah,
I've played pickup with him at the North Dakota State University Wellness Center, and much better than I thought. Considering I thought he'd be more of a post player. I mean, he is 5'10".
Yeah,
but
he's got the body of a post player.
But he's got the body of a post player.
And he's 6 foot. He's solid 6 foot.
Okay, and I still thought that his range was excellent for
his
size.
He can shoot.
His range. And my impression was that, I felt like he had a better outside shot than one would appear. You probably had better ball handling skills than him. But in all together, I'm probably better than both you two.
Okay, well, here's the thing. He's never beat me at a game of one-on-one.
Okay.
Ever.
But he's not
as fast
as you.
And
you have to be quick in one-on-one. One-on-one is a totally different set of skills.
Sure, but that's what we're talking about here.
Oh, boy. I don't know if we're talking about one-on-one. I think in a team game that I would be better than you. Within the concept of a team.
Oh, stop it. This is hypothetical.
You
want to
go one-on-one, I'd still beat you. I'd still beat you in one-on-one.
So I just texted my brother here.
You're what, 6'3"?
I'm 6 foot.
God, why do I? Because you're lanky. That's what it is.
Who would win a game of one-on-one, me or Pinto? I just
texted
my brother.
Of course he's going to decide.
He said, no, my brother would absolutely take a shot at me. You know my brother.
Yeah,
take a shot at me any chance he get. You, Pinto's bad. I've seen him play.
I'm not bad, Travis.
Right there.
Yeah,
right there.
I'm looking right at it.
Right there.
No, I'm not. Anyways.
That was not where we were going
with
the
open. But that's fine. We got there. And now we'll just scrap the whole opening that we had. We'll go there. But...
This may need to happen at some point this summer.
It will.
Keep it. I'm 3 months out of shape.
So
and
out of shape,
at least
though.
15 pounds overweight.
Oh boy, it's bad. It could get worse. It could get ugly.
Sometime this summer. We need to get after we're playing some softball. We'll get moving a little bit more, and then this is happening.
Yeah, it will. And
it'll get slow, kind of post NBA finals. We'll plan this right around the NBA finals.
Okay, and we'll do it down at the river, but down by Island Park. Outdoors, because I'm a good outdoors baller.
See, now that's an advantage for you. Not to drop any. If anybody from Courts Plus is out there listening, like to sponsor the show, give us a call. I'm an indoor guy. I'm coddled.
Well, we could do a series too. We could do my home court is outdoors. Your home court is indoors.
I like this.
And we could go best of seven.
I like this. Best of seven. My gosh, this will have
to be over the course
of a long time.
If it goes that way, we'll flip a coin to see where it starts.
Okay.
Wow. We've just decided this is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun.
We need to get somebody out there to videotape it, put it up on the website.
We'll probably have to put it on our podcast page on my blog page. And
people are going to make so much fun of us. It's going to be great.
Yes, this is happening.
Yay.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll absolutely do it this summer. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at PintoKFGO, Brad Jones.
At the Bison Guy.
You can find us on KFGO.com under the podcast section. email us, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes as well, the Pinto and White Shadow Show. We have all different kinds of platforms for you to find us at.
Yeah, and this week, you know, make it your mission to tell a friend.
Yeah,
tell
do
one
it.
Friend.
Tell one friend. That's all we ask. Yeah. Maybe they'll like it. Maybe they won't. We don't require you to listen to it. Of course, we'd like you to.
Just,
make it required. Listen,
click
tell a
the
friend.
Page. Give us the click.
Tell a friend. We've got Tyler in Tennessee, or is it Tulsa, or is it Tanzania?
Tanzania, I think,
well,
this week.
It's Tanzania this week. He's a traveler. He's got an email coming in. We'll address that later in National Topics. We also have Marcus and Mayville from two podcasts back. He has a question about us, for us, about Kevin Love.
Okay.
Marcus and Mayville, Tyler in Tanzania this week, tell a friend.
Okay.
All the other listeners. And we do have, it ranges from week to week. We've had up to 100 listeners before. We've had as low as 18. And we love every single one of you. So tell a friend about this, and we'll get it out there.
By the way, teaser on the Kevin Love thing. I'm rethinking my previous position on the podcast.
Okay.
I'm regretting a little bit of what I said
about
before.
I'm
not regretting that, but we'll get to that. Just a tease for the people out there.
Okay.
I'm actually going to change my mind. This doesn't happen.
We'll stick with it.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's just get into this, and we'll get rolling. So we'll start with
local.
And locally, very little to talk about, essentially, because it is kind of that lull in between, you know, the Red Hawks that will get started here. We won't talk much about them on the podcast, but we'll address it if something interesting comes up with them.
Yep.
And then, of course, NDSU football and Bison basketball just really over. The biggest thing that we're going to touch here is spring football, and not so much the position battles and get into that, because really at the FCS level and even at the FBS level to a point, spring football means very little. And it really meant little last year for the NDSU football team, because you already knew who was going to start. You already knew the roster was so senior-laden. Brad, give me a reason why I should care this year about the NDSU football team, and I'll see if you take my reason why you should care.
Okay, you actually have
NDSU
one.
Football team, spring football, I should
say. Okay, well, the reason that you should care is because you're the one that we got, because I got into a giant argument with you earlier this fall about how much the spring game matters.
And it does, still.
And it doesn't at all.
Okay.
But honestly, from what perspective are you telling me from? Are you from talking about a general fan's perspective?
Let's look at it from two perspectives.
Okay.
We'll start from the fan perspective.
Okay.
And go.
Very little.
Okay.
We're talking about practice. Practice. Isn't practice important?
I don't have that sounder, but yes.
Is practice really something that a fan's going to get heavily invested in? Meh. Probably not.
No. I agree with you, and that's the perspective that I would say as a fan, if you're just kind of itching for football.
Take a couple notes. Take a look at Jeff Kolpak's notes. He's usually got some good stuff.
Take a look at what you guys got.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with that from a fan's perspective. But in overall, let's get jacked up for the spring football game. There's, from a fan point of view, no, there's not much to get up for. And the reason FBS schools actually have some fandom around is because those fans are nuts. I mean, they're absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But the other part of it, too, is that the FBS is a different animal where freshmen will actually enroll early.
Yeah.
And the position battles, I would say, change over a little bit more often, where you got guys that are juniors or redshirt sophomores that are, all right, I'm leaving for the NFL. You know, in Texas A&M, now the big question would be, who's going to be the new quarterback? So, you know, people are going to be like, well, I'd like to see how that goes. I would love to see see an opportunity to do that. The other thing that I would say for fans of those kind of bigger colleges, go to a spring game. Because I went to the University of Nebraska spring game when I was a sophomore and junior in college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool because they kind of let down their guard a little bit. And they make it more about the fan. You get to walk on the field at halftime. You get to kind of walk in the bowels of Nebraska, you know, the stadium there, Memorial Stadium. That was really fun. Very laid-back atmosphere. That's why I'd say go.
Okay.
Not to rip NDSU, but as an FCS school, there's really not much going on with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's a time to do a little bit of a celebration.
Yep.
And again, everyone's the football itch is there
because
we've had a few months without very much of anything. And so, okay, the itch is a little bit there. I want to see something. I want to, you know, start to see some of these guys go around a little bit. I want to see climbing on the sidelines, maybe even a little bit.
And, yep.
Okay.
So from that perspective, for the fans, not a lot of new stuff. But again, I will make a programming note. KFGO will be carrying the spring game, and Chase Miller and myself will be hosting the tailgate show.
Okay.
It's a show that runs regularly with Ryan Gellner throughout the football season. We're doing it for the spring game. Chase Miller and I will be, I believe, on hand at the spring football game that Saturday.
Nice.
Doing that game. So that will be something to take note of. We'll have conversations, hopefully, with NDSU players, NDSU coaches. And that leads me in, great transition, into why you should care from a player or maybe from a nuts and bolts, we'll say, perspective. New players at new positions, and there's position battles out there to be had.
Yeah.
And you're going to get an opportunity to see names more so this year than you were last year at different positions. I think last year going in, the only question mark you had was basically who's going to be the other corner opposite of Marcus Williams. And you didn't really know. You didn't know who was going to appear because Andre Martin.
Depth at linebacker, how were guys
going to
come along
there. Depth at linebacker. And Andre Martin was going to be the guy. And it ended up being the depth at linebacker was people that weren't even in the spring game. So that's kind of that point. But the nuts and bolts of it.
That's true, yeah.
New head coach, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, a lot of new coaches into the system right now. And Chris Klieman, obviously a holdover, but he's the new head coach. We'll get to see how all that works. Carson Wentz is going to garner a lot of attention because NDSU fans have been so used to Brock Jensen under center for the last 4 years. Carson Wentz is going to be a guy to look for. Defensive line, you're really not going to notice a lot, but you're going to see different names on the defensive line.
Yeah.
The linebacker is going to be the same. The secondary is going to be really different, and Colton Hegel is not going to be participating in the spring game this year. So the safety, you'll get to see a different safety. You'll get to see a new corner. There's a lot of different people out there, and that's why from a nuts and bolts perspective, that's why you should care about the spring game this year, at least for NDSU.
Yeah, it's I would say maybe a little bit more than last year, and it's, you know, as far as position battles go, at, you know, in the spring, you're not going to win or lose a position in the spring. I call, to me, it's kind of like the first day or two of a golf tournament. You're not really, unless you completely melt down, you're not really going to win or, you know, you're not going to lose a tournament, and you're certainly not going to win it on that first day or two. You can put yourself in position, you can kind of set yourself up, but there's just not a whole lot that you're going to do as far as outright winning a position in spring.
Yeah, and the big thing about this year's team, there's a lot of incoming freshmen. And again, we saw it with the 2010 team. A lot of freshmen had an opportunity to make their names heard early in the career. Now, different circumstance. That team was really bad.
Yep.
That the freshmen were kind of stepping into a team coming off a 3-8 season. This year, it's a really good team with a good pedigree. But this recruiting class, of course, like every other recruiting class before it, is one of the best that NDSU has put together. Whether that's true or not, I guess we'll see come the fall. Because again, in FCS football, I think there's one player in the 2014 recruiting class that enrolled early, and he's a tight end. I believe his last name is it's Collins. I think it's Marcus Collins, if I remember correctly. Outside of that, you're not going to see any new names, but you're going to see guys that redshirted last year that didn't play, and you're going to go, oh, okay, interesting. Oh, okay. Yeah, he looks like he could do stuff. Wide receiver might be a position when that slot receiver without Ryan Smith there. Again, that's what you're going to see. But you're not going to see, you know, defensive linemen and offensive linemen just going absolutely crazy. They're probably going to go about 75%.
It's the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it's the Pro Bowl for college football teams. So, but again, the nuts and bolts, and that's why you should care. We'll move on to NDSU women's basketball. They announced the new hiring of Maureen Walseth. Again, I'm going to screw up this name. Maren Walseth, pardon me.
There you go.
And we talked about this before the podcast.
And what did I tell you?
And you predicted that I would screw up the name.
Yes, I did.
That's okay. Mike McFeely today on his show did the same thing. Maren Walseth.
Way to throw your boss under the bus.
I'm going to.
You just did.
I did. Maren Walseth, the new head coach for the NDSU women's basketball team, was an assistant for 7 years at Penn State University. Penn State women's basketball team, back-to-back regular season Big Ten champions. She's going to start her head coaching career with a program with a very good history, but recent history has been pretty disastrous for NDSU. We don't know much.
Nope.
I mean, you really don't. And it's not like the hiring of Dave Richmond where you go, okay, we know about him. He's been on the system. He knows what NDSU's about. She's from Bloomington, Minnesota originally. You know, outside of that, it's a new thing. And this is the second time NDSU has gone outside to hire the head women's basketball coach. They did it with Carolyn Diehoff, and it didn't really turn out that well. We'll see how this goes with a Penn State assistant. But I have to comment on the fact that it's encouraging, if anything else, that you're hiring an assistant coach from a Big Ten program that has had recent success. You're not going to a mid-major, Colorado State, UNLV, what have you, and going, okay, we'll take an assistant coach from there. I think that's impressive in the fact that there's a Big Ten assistant coach that looks at NDSU and goes, this could be a job worth taking. Do you read into that at all, Brad, or is that me just kind of pandering?
Little. Yeah, I think a little that you're pandering. I mean, I think anytime you can get, if you have aspirations of eventually being a big-time D1 coach, when you get a D1 program that offers you a job, regardless, within reason, regardless of where you're at, you take it. And, it's the one thing, and I can remember visiting with Gene Taylor about what he's, I asked him, what did he look for in a coach when he's looking for somebody to hire? What do you look for? And he said, I want to see someone who's won everywhere that they've gone. And I know this obviously isn't Gene's hire, so quit yelling at your computer here. But I think that's something that the athletic department shares. We look for people who've won everywhere that they've gone, who've been successful. And Penn State's, again, they've been good, but who knows? How many assistant coaches have come from good programs and then not worked out? We don't know.
She has her work cut out for her in this region. You look at the University of North Dakota, they qualified for the NCAA tournament. Yeah. The University of South Dakota, they just qualified for the NCAA tournament. We already know what South Dakota State University has to offer as far as their dominance in the Summit League. So when you look around, I think she's going to get a full 5 years, and I believe that's what her contract length is for, and that's kind of the usual. It's a chance to get that recruiting class the way through.
5 years, I think $150,000 per year was the salary I saw.
And so, because of that, I think she'll get the full 5 years, and I think she'll get, again, all the confidence in the world, because they're going to look at it and go, you have a large hill to climb, unfortunately. Now, again, a good recruiting tool, and it'll be the same for the men's team as well.
New
arena is coming around.
Yeah. And we're going to, and we talked about it before the show, we're going to try to get her on and see if we can visit with her a little bit. Yeah, we'll see what we can see. I followed women's basketball closer than probably anybody when I was a student there, and I'm hopeful that she's going to do well. You and I, my senior year, your freshman year, we called almost every women's basketball game, and I think we enjoyed it, and hoping that they're able to bounce back.
It was a fun program before the Division I era, and it's fallen on hard times, and now you're looking at Walseth and going, all right, here we go. Get the ship off the reef. Get us back in the waters.
And I think, honestly, it's going to take one coach to get it rolling, because people, again, they're going to see the NDSU name if they see any sort of success. I don't know that it's going to be a little steep climb, but once you start climbing, I think it starts to level out really, really fast, because if you get some momentum going, I really think the program can take off in a hurry, and honestly, I think that's probably what the expectation is going to be.
And I hope it is. So we wish her the best of luck, and congratulations to her on the new hire. And I think for NDSU, boy, it has been a busy coaching hiring season for them, from football to basketball, both programs,
basketball
men's and
two,
women's. And the school now, two of those programs were the result of success. One was the result of a need. You kind of wonder, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but we love it here at the podcast.
Okay.
What other coaches are going to leave? And it's so tough to predict that, because Darren Mueller, the head coach for the softball team, he's still around.
I mean, he's one, and I like Darren. He's one that I've known for a while. He's been around a while.
Yep.
He could have. I think he could have had the U of M job a few years ago, that they were looking real hard at him. And I my guess is Darren's had offers to go other places, and just, I think he just likes it here. Really do.
And that's what you hope.
And
NDSU
yeah.
has built a very, very good softball program.
He's got a great pipeline out in California.
Yep.
They've just been really, really good. And if Darren likes it here, then you know what? He's going to be around a while. You look at, other successful programs. You look at track.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Don Larson, he's a lifer. After what, 30 years, maybe more, that he's been around. He's a lifer, and he's got that program going well. Ryan Godfrey's, at least to the media, very quiet guy, very nice guy. He'll have opportunities if he wants them with, you know, since they've won, you know, everything ever since they've gone in the Summit League. And
had Olympic athletes on there. You know,
yep.
Squad.
So if he wants it, the opportunities will come. But he's been here a while too, and I'm sure has had looks previously. My money, if you're gonna pin me down on someone, Todd Brown.
Yeah, and I was thinking that too, because if there's any sport that's extremely difficult to be successful at in the Midwest or Upper Midwest, I should say, it's got to be baseball.
Yeah,
because you're looking at perhaps not playing anywhere close to Fargo until May. And right now it's April 14th, 6:30, and it was snowing outside today. Yes. You know, that's just not baseball conditions. And so you're on the road, and the baseball season in college starts in February. So you're on the road for the first month, month and a half, possibly 2 months, because you can't get a home game in.
Yep.
And then when you do get a home game in, you know, it's got to be short, quick, and you got to get all these home games out of the way, because essentially, you're sharing a stadium, a very nice stadium at that, but you're still sharing a stadium with a semi-pro team.
Amateur team.
Well, no, the Redhawks, they pay their players, so it wouldn't be amateur.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could call it semi-pro, Northern League team, or American Athletic, whatever the conference they're in now. But you're sharing it with them, and they take precedent over what you want or what you have. It becomes tough. And in 4 years, I think this is going to be his sixth year now at the helm, maybe a little bit longer. I believe he started when I was a freshman in college, so this might be sixth or seventh.
Yep.
And he's turned around the program. He's done a great job. And to really put this all in perspective, you look at a majority, the core of these teams have come from the state of Minnesota or North Dakota or Wisconsin, upper Midwest schools that have been able to go, we want these guys, outside of softball, which is mostly California. Yeah, you got to include South Dakota in there too. Ton of South Dakota talent that's on the track team, both men's and women's. They're not going out of the norm, going, okay, we're going to Florida, we're going to Texas, we're going to California, we're going to these southern states. They're going right here in the Midwest. That to me speaks volumes to how they've done their recruiting and how they've done their coaching. So that's a big thing. Enough to pat NDSU on the back. I agree with you though, Todd Brown.
Okay.
All right, moving on. We're done with the NDSU Love Fest for now, because that's kind of what it felt like there for a second. All right, let's get on to
regional.
Let's start out with draft is nice. Draft's coming up in 2 weeks, but we'll hang on to that
is
one.
Is it 2 weeks?
It's got to be. It's the 1st of May.
Is it? Okay.
Couple weeks. Oh, 3 weeks, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's the... Oh, maybe it is. No, it's 3 weeks. Yeah, it's 3 weeks because it's the first full week in May.
Okay.
All right. Want to start with this. Marcus in Mayville sends this in.
Okay.
And we'll piggyback it onto a question about the Minnesota Timberwolves and regional. Kevin Love's game is sustainable over the long haul. This is Marcus in Mayville. Doesn't rely on athleticism to be an elite player. Brad, White Shadow, talks about not getting to the playoffs, but outside of selecting Kevin Love, this has been the most poorly run organization in the NBA since he was traded on draft day. Not picking Steph Curry during the three-point guard draft is still haunting the Wolves. And that goes back to two podcasts, and we talked about Kevin Love a little bit, and I think I made mention where I felt that Kevin Love was a better forward than Blake Griffin, and I thought he was a top-five player, and that's kind of where it went. And looking at this, the Timberwolves, coming into this season, were expected to make a push for the playoffs, and all they did was, you know, hung around in mediocrity and didn't do anything. Played 500 basketball, won one here, lost one there, won two, lost two. That's how they went. For the Minnesota Timberwolves and Kevin Love, and still in my mind a top five player with a long career ahead of him, being what, 26 now, 27? He's not old.
No, he knows. Yeah.
Do you think that Kevin Love still is gone?
Oh, yeah.
Regardless.
Yes.
And that the Minnesota Timberwolves are not going to be able to keep him around.
Unless they get Jabari Parker, or they get the draft pick where they can pair up, where Kevin Love says, ooh, this guy's this guy's the absolute real deal. I'll at least exercise my player option to stick around for one more year and see if maybe he's going to be enough. But that's a 0.05% chance.
Do you think the Timberwolves beg? Essentially, I mean, they throw everything at him.
Yeah. Oh, well, you have to. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, some teams feel like they're above that going, we're not going to let one player dictate
I think that went out the window when the Lakers put up a billboard for Dwight Howard.
Oh,
if
yeah.
the Lakers are doing it, I think the Wolves can do it. By the way, Kevin Love, 25.
Yeah, he's my age.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing with my life.
But, yeah, it's... I mentioned to you what I'd like to revise.
Yeah, let's
yeah,
revise.
Kevin Love's a more skilled basketball player than Blake Griffin. I think Blake Griffin has had a better season than Kevin Love, is what I would say. I'd say because Blake Griffin has added to his game.
He has.
And to me, that's something that he brings something that's a real, real change. I think I went a little far in criticizing Kevin Love for not making the playoffs. I think I went a little far there.
Yeah.
The Western Conference is just
stacked.
Insane. And yeah.
And you need in the Western Conference more so than anywhere because
you got to have at least two.
Yeah. And I think the Raptors this year, love throwing them in. Jeez. They proved that a team in the Eastern Conference can get you into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Where in the Western Conference, you need two superstars.
You need two superstars. And at least three to four quality role players. At least. And because you look at Memphis, they've got, they may not have the super duper star, but you've got Mark Gasol and Zach Randolph.
And then
a budding Mike Conley.
Yep.
And they've got a couple of pieces around them, and they're floundering for the eighth seed with Phoenix.
And yeah, I was going to say, I guess you can make the argument that Phoenix themselves is one of these teams that if they make the playoffs, which is still possible, but again, you have two games left.
Yep.
You got to win them both and hope Memphis loses both, I believe. I'm not sure how the tiebreaker goes in that scenario. In any case, Phoenix is one of these teams that's the team. They don't have one of these superstars, and they've done well. But, I mean, let's just go down the list. You can think of two at every place. Indiana. Again,
you got Paul George, Roy Hibbert.
There you go. Miami, obviously. We don't even need to mention it. Toronto, again, I think.
You got like DeMar DeRozan, I guess.
Yep.
But
there's not one of those guys. You go, okay. Chicago.
Yeah,
they had
Noah.
Derrick Rose, but and then Noah as well. And Noah's really stepped up his game, but Derrick Rose is never healthy. Carlos Boozer, but he's not a superstar.
Yeah, they're overachieving because they got a great coach and a great defense.
And Noah playing out of his mind right now.
Yes.
Brooklyn, I mean,
you
up
got
and
the
down.
Aging stars. You got Darren Williams. Yep.
Washington has the young stars. JaVale McGee.
He's not a young star. Stop it. John Wall and Bradley Beal, I'll maybe give you.
Yeah.
But stop it with JaVale McGee.
Charlotte, Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Some other guys on that team. Atlanta, snuck
Al Horford,
in.
Yeah. But again, you're looking bottom rung of the East. It gets kind of meh in the East pretty quick.
And Dallas, Golden State, Portland, Houston, Clippers, Oklahoma City, San Antonio.
You got
can
two,
name
if
just
not three
a ton
of
superstars
of
on all those teams. So again, going back to the argument.
So I was a little hard on Kevin Love as far as the playoffs
Ricky Rubio
thing
is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll rescind that one a little bit. Regretted that one a little bit.
Ricky Rubio is like
I won't
else.
Go back. I still think that Blake Griffin's having a better season than Kevin Love.
Okay.
But Kevin Love is he's going to be. I'm curious to see because I think he's best as a second banana. I really do, and that's why I have trouble putting him in as a top five player because I think his best fit is as a second guy, where he's not somebody where when it comes down with 5 seconds left that he can create something.
Well, he can create something. That's true.
And you have to set up plays for him. Yeah.
But
when you have the ball with 5 seconds left and you need a bucket, as what happens a lot in the NBA and especially in the playoffs, I got to have a guy who can do something with the ball in his hands.
Okay, but why does that have to be your number one player? Why can't he be your number two, but he's able to create and score big shots? The way I look at it, you look at a guy like Derek Fisher or Robert Horry, and those guys weren't your number one, two, or three.
No,
and they hit big shots all the time.
Okay,
and they didn't create.
That's right.
And again, Kevin Love can be one of these players who can come off a screen. He can find some open area. I will agree with you, need another play. You need one of those superstars that can create. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, Kevin Love can't be the guy at the end of the game, because he can, and he's proven it with Minnesota a couple times.
Yeah.
But you need a guy who can go, all right, we have three seconds left off the dribble.
I need a high 1A for him. You know, I think there's
Russell
some guys
Westbrook.
Where, you need a guy like that with Kevin Love.
It's a perfect example
Love.
That I can think of in that scenario.
Very good. Yeah.
Because he would be a 1A. James Harden, same thing.
Yes.
They would be these 1A type of players who, you know, not necessarily do you look at him and go, okay, he's the best player on the team. But you look at him and go, but if I need a shot right now, I can get it from him.
Yep.
He needs it. He definitely needs it. Let's rate the Minnesota Timberwolves season. Was it as expected?
I was going to say, I give it a solid C because it's exactly what I expected. When we talked in the podcast, we thought they'd sneak into the playoffs as the 8 seed. I think we both had them as the 8 seed coming in. But I said they'd be up and down. They'd be average, and they're 40-40. To me, it's a solid C because it's exactly what I expected.
I want to read the rest of this because I like my writing in this. As expected, what you agreed of. Thought it would be better, but oh well. Or a huge disappointment. Like Transformers 2 disappointment.
I haven't seen Transformers 2.
Don't worry about it.
I've seen the first one.
And that's all
times.
You need. That's all you need to
so
see.
So just stop there?
You just stop.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Not even Megan Fox makes it worth it?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Megan. She's an avid listener, but no. I thought it would be better, but oh well. You know, again, when you're... They just never gave... That's the other part about this season. They just never gave you a sense of, okay, here we go. It was always... It's like the car that kind of turns over but just never fires. It's just like, oh, come on. Nope, nothing. So that's kind of what the Timberwolves season was like to me. You turn it on and they'd be losing by 20, or you turn it on and they'd be winning by 20. They beat this team but then lose that team. It's just like they couldn't get their stuff together. That was unfortunate, but oh well, so be it. They don't make the playoffs. Not a huge disappointment. Not like Transformers 2 disappointment. Speaking of teams that could disappoint you when it comes to drafts, like the Timberwolves have, the Minnesota Vikings, in about 3 weeks, NFL draft is coming up. And this is where the draft talk starts to heat up a lot in the next few weeks. And this is where I like to get into it. If for anything else, a little bit of an appetizer.
Sure.
Because the Minnesota Vikings have a pretty important pick, and they have to, well, not have to, but they're going to do something, I think, that will impact this organization at least for 5-6 years to come.
Thanks,
whether
Dan.
It be negatively or positively.
Thanks, Dan.
Yes.
Appreciate you breaking down what a team does with a top 10 pick.
Thank
it's
you.
Going to affect you somehow for the next few years. Thanks, Dan.
Yep. You know, they talked about this morning on KFAN Down to the Cities how this number 8 pick, they're talking about maybe they could trade back because there could be some 3 or 4 options on the board, and they go, well, we're going to trade back because at least we know those guys will still be there by 14 or by 15, and then amass picks in that way, which I am all for. If that's how they feel, I like that. That's not my question here. My question is, how are they going to address these positions? Defensive backfield, defensive line, quarterback. Options are draft, free agency, or player development. Example, players they already have on their rosters. Roster. They don't have two rosters. Roster. I'll start with defensive back, knowing what you know what's on their team. How do you think they'll address it this offseason?
Well, I mean, here's some of the free agencies has already taken place. They've had success in the draft with it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to say because I can see it going both sides. It depends on who ends up being roster cuts. You know, there's so many different things to take into account there. I would say that's one that's more likely to go free agency.
Okay.
Because I think when you have, and some of it, because they've got a couple of young guys in there, some of it's going to be player development and trying to get those guys to take the next step. But I think some of it, when you have a defensive-minded coach coming in, he's going to look for a guy that knows his system, that he's worked with before. And that seems to happen a lot where all of a sudden those players surface with the new team. So that's why I would say with defensive back and honestly probably defensive line, I can see him going draft maybe a little bit more on the D-line, but I think both they look a little bit towards free agency, use more draft with D-line.
I look at it as definitely player development. When I look at some of the guys that are on their roster, and Josh Robinson with speed, he's going to be in his third year. You've got Xavier Rhodes, the guy they drafted out of Florida State the previous year at your safety position, Harrison Smith. Yep. All these guys have worlds of talent, and they're a little bit raw, especially Josh Robinson. But I look at it and go, they have the makings in the secondary where they yep. put together some good pieces and go, yep. let's develop these guys. Yeah. These are our guys for the
future.
Which is
part of the reason for adding things. And player development is separate because you're doing that with everything, to me anyway. But if I'm thinking draft or free agency, they've got the young guys. Now you bring in the free agents that know the system, can teach a little bit, and can model it.
Now, for me, I think free agency, they might look at getting defensive line free agency and try
possibly.
To build it up that way. They've got Sharif Floyd right now, but you're still looking at...
I think you're going young there.
Young.
I agree with you there,
but I... Well, I don't agree with you because I'm going free agency.
Yeah.
So you're thinking more draft.
I think of more draft with the D-line.
And they lost a pass rusher in Jared Allen.
Yep.
Signed with the Bears.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see the draft being a way they address it. I just look at some of the things that they can fill. They've already started going with some free agents as well.
Quarterback is
Tom
absolutely
Johnson,
draft.
Fred A. Well, they re-signed yeah. Fred Evans.
I'm just going to move on.
You're just going to go
gonna
on?
Move on.
Okay.
Yep. I'm just going to do it.
You want quarterback through the draft?
Well, because they've re-signed Castle already.
Okay.
So what's the point? I mean, you go sign whoever, you know, the whatever version of Brooks Bollinger that you're going to find to be your third string quarterback. They're coming. I don't know if it'll be first round. They're coming out of this year's draft with a quarterback.
We'll have an ongoing wager next podcast that we can do, and you're
okay.
going to be gone starting when? You're leaving for overseas.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Europe. I got a few weeks.
I was going to say, oh, yeah, like, oh, yeah, that's happening. That guy
oh,
I just forgot.
Yeah. No, that's in May.
Okay.
So I got a solid 3-4 shows here.
Okay, good, because we're going to do an ongoing wager, and I'll tease it right now. It'll have to do with quarterbacks and who. And maybe when as well.
Okay.
When they draft and who it'll be.
I like this.
Okay.
I like this. I'm perennially wrong, so these will probably be easy board wins for you.
They might be, yeah.
Because I'm just generally, as far as drafts go, really, really bad.
And what we should do is we shouldn't just couch it as one. We'll put two out there where you go, okay, here are the six that I think might be within range. Give me two, and I'll take two. So we'll do it that way.
Okay.
That'll be a fun
okay.
little ongoing wager.
I like it.
I agree, though. It'll be free agency and, yeah, second round, third round, fourth round, who knows.
For quarterback? Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be any of the top four rounds.
And
I
liked what they did last year where they, you know, they had Patterson, they had Rhodes, and they had Floyd all in the first round. I really liked what they did. At first, I thought, what are you doing? And then as it went on, you kind of go, okay, makes sense. They know what they're doing. That's why they do what they do and I do what I do. Minnesota Twins are 6-3 against the AL Central so far this season. Anything about the first 2 weeks of baseball for the Twinkies surprise you?
You know, I was even right kind of on my Jason Kubel. I thought he would have an impact. I was right on something with baseball. That's a good sign.
Yeah, way to pat yourself on the back.
I'm going to because it doesn't happen very often. It's the first 2 weeks of the baseball season. My gosh, there's less than nothing that you can take away from this.
Well,
less than nothing. Unless somebody major gets hurt. That's the list.
And nobody's majorly gotten hurt.
Nope. So for me, the entire first week of baseball is just a giant meh.
And to me, it would be a meh. But here's what I look at for the Minnesota Twins when I look at this season. I want them to be successful against the AL Central.
Meh.
And that is a huge reason that they won so many division titles. And I'm not saying they're going to win a division title, but you start getting better against the AL Central. And I look at last year, they had 11 wins against the Chicago White Sox. And then they went 6-13 against Cleveland, 8-11 against Detroit. And this is what really is crazy. They went 4-15 against Kansas City. They're one win away from tying the amount of wins they had against the Royals already. And the Royals are supposed to be second or third place, could be contending for a wild card spot this season with the pitching and with the youth that they have on their team. They're just not hitting right now. That's, you know, so be it. But again, I know it's the first 2 weeks and it might be, oh my goodness, you're reading into this, but 6-3 against the Central.
Meh. This is the equivalent of one football game.
Yeah, no, I understand. No, I hear
okay.
where you're coming from.
Yep.
And they're yet to play Detroit. And that's going to be the real measuring stick. I mean, they did decent against Detroit last
year. All I know about baseball is that my fantasy team's crushing yours this week. That's it.
No, it's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not.
Can you even see me from where you're at in the standings?
I deliberately dropped the guy off my team because he was so horrible and just left the spot open. I'm going to sign someone through waivers, which will be my third waiver move already this season, which is not a good sign. 3 weeks, three waiver moves. But I dropped the guy and kept the spot open just because he was that bad.
Zach Cozart, your feelings should be hurt right now.
And Zach Cozart's going to go on fire this week for the next 4 days, and I can already feel it. I can just already sense this is going to happen. You know, my fantasy team is going to be fine against yours. I'm going to have some guys. I'm going to get some hits. I'm going to get some runs. I'm going to win this week. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you're really not, though.
I am. I'm really going to get back into the swing of things. I've had like 6 wins all season. I'm pitiful at fantasy football.
Fantasy baseball.
Everyone everywhere is going,
please, no! 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 No!
My boy Doug Zeltinger, avid listener of the Pinto and White Shadow Show, is enjoying it thoroughly, though.
Oh, I bet he is.
Yep.
Is he the commissioner of this league?
He's not. No, that's the Reverend Mike Honnell is the and I say that actually in all seriousness, he is a preacher. No, Doug is Angry Old Men is his team, and he's always got his profile picture of Nolan Ryan with Robin Ventura in a headlock as he's.
Hence the Angry Old Man.
I think I got. By the way, who's your profile picture on there? Because that's fantastic.
Blake Bortles' girlfriend.
Lindsay Duke. Nicely done.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. I figured everybody would appreciate that.
Yes.
My fiance does not know I have that, so might have to change that avatar now.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun while it lasted.
Okay.
Yeah. You. Whatever. Fantasy baseball. It's bad. It's so bad because I look at it every day and I'm like, oh, maybe. Hey, he's got a couple hits. And I look over at the guy next to me.
So wait a minute. So you're the one who just hit the sounder that said no, 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 and then you're going to keep talking about it?
Yeah, I am. Okay. We got to move on. We got to get into... Hang on.
National.
All right. Well, let's address this right now because it came through...
You've got mail.
Oh, that was extremely loud. Jeez. Sorry. Let's try that again.
You've got mail.
That's a little better. We got some mail. Tyler in Tanzania.
Yeah.
Really lives in Kentucky. Sent us this email back a while ago, back in February. And I apologize to just getting it now. But this is something that's kind of broken with Northwestern. And we'll all put it together. I'll try to read this in its entirety.
Oh, don't do that.
At least
this
go through
it. Way too long.
And get some points. And he starts out like this. Obviously, a lot of controversy regarding paying college athletes for their service in athletics. Don't pay athletes is what Tyler says. Why? Most athletes are getting paid via scholarship, free tuition, free meal plans, free room, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
People argue that schools, this is the second point, are profiting off athletes. Is this true? Is this true in some cases? Yes. Look at athletics as a whole, however, to keep all sports going, the cost of coaches, facilities, and travel are using profits from men's basketball and football to support everything else. By the way, just because my company makes X million dollars of profit each year doesn't mean I should get a bigger chunk just because there's money there. Also, look at it from an academics perspective. Colleges make tons of money from grants, research, yada, yada, yada. They don't get that money.
I was going to say, that's not accurate.
And I'm trying to look at, see if there's anything else. He goes, I think if an athlete obtains a full ride to school, they should be required to graduate. This is an extra part of it. If they don't graduate, they should pay back their scholarship. I know this isn't realistic, but I think it's a practical idea. See how many kids leave school immediately after their sports season or leave early to try and make it pro if that happened.
There's
a whole lot of things we need to unpack here.
Okay, so, you go ahead, because I think the solution to this whole thing is so much simpler than everybody is making it out to be, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I'm curious what your thoughts are. Ready, go.
Oh, boy. Paying college athletes.
Yay or nay?
In one word, yes.
Okay.
I think they should, but it's not just black and white, unfortunately.
Oh, because there's miles of gray here.
And the NCAA wants to make it black and white. And a lot of people, especially those, you know, that play college athletes at the high or college athletics at the highest level, you know, they want to look at it and go, look, I'm struggling to eat here because we only get so much allotted for meals. And guess what? The dining center isn't open at 8 o'clock at night or when the game gets over at midnight. And you know what? I only have $15. And yeah, I could go to McDonald's, but is that what I want after playing a game? Or yeah, I could go here, but I mean, it becomes a sticky wicket in that sense. So yeah, you look at that and go, boy, there. You know, you look at how much money the NCAA tournament makes, billions upon billions of dollars. You look at how much NCAA football makes, billions upon billions of dollars. But then you start to think about it, and that's where it ends. You know, women's basketball's not making billions.
Yeah.
College baseball's not making billions.
So there's So that's where you get into the sub discussion of, okay, are you just playing? Are you just paying the players at revenue sports? Are you just paying off of their likeness? So are you just paying the Johnny Manziels and the Jameis Winstons and the students who, okay, you're making money off of selling my jersey, so I get a cut of that?
Right.
Are you, you know, so what direction are you going there? Here's the thing. What are, the number one question is, what are you trying to accomplish with this? Are you trying to give students money because they deserve it? Or are you trying to curb cheating? If you're trying to curb cheating, then this is a foolish discussion, because I don't care how much money that you give someone. If somebody is going to be willing to give them more money, they are going to take it.
It might increase cheating is probably what you're going with?
No, I don't think it'll increase cheating. I don't think it'll do anything about it.
Okay.
Because why do all these people who are making millions and millions of dollars on Wall Street, why do they try to do insider trading? Because it's about
more
it's
money.
It's always about more money. So there's not an amount of money that you're going to pay these college athletes if your goal is to try to curb cheating. If your goal is to give them money because you're using their likeness, okay. Then to me, it's okay if we give permission for somebody to print to make 1,000 Johnny Manziel jerseys, then Johnny Manziel should get a cut of that. If you're making money directly off of this player's jersey, fine. And you know what would happen with that? Really quick in a heartbeat, what the NCAA would do is they would stop selling, they would stop printing out specific jersey numbers, and they would make them all generic jerseys
or whatever, yeah.
But they'd let you make a customizable one. And if somebody wants to customize a Manziel jersey,
and they do that already.
Sure. But that's where they would exclusively go and say, well, we're not specifically making them. Somebody orders a 5 jersey, though. Maybe their birthday is the 5th. So that's the issue there. Here's the thing. If your goal is to, for those players that are just trying to get enough money, who literally the Jalen Roses of the world back in the day, who claim I could not go buy a pizza because I didn't have enough money. Then you create a loan program. You make it just the way every other college student has to be able to eat. Is even though their college expenses are covered through the scholarship, so they may not get any government, you know, getting a government
right.
loan through the FAFSA, then you create a loan program and you take out student loans. I mean.
And I understand that. Here's my argument with that, and it seems very. It maybe not seem. I don't want to say the nicest, but it maybe seem kind of ignorant in my sense, but how many kids are going to take the time to do that? How many kids are going to take the time to apply for a loan, write down all this stuff?
Okay, but that's fine.
And then do the meal.
But you give them that option. And however you want to do it, the details, if you have a bank of NCAA and student athletes can take out a specific NCAA loan. My guess is if you partnered, I bet you could probably find a bank pretty willing to partner with that because of the graduation rates and the earnings potential of college athletes.
Right.
The graduation rate's higher. The numbers out there support that.
So your opportunity to pay it back would be high.
You call and
right.
say, hey, Bank of America, hey, Citibank, hey, whatever bank you want, Wells Fargo, say, hey, you want to partner with us on this and be our lender for these student loans? Here are the parameters. My guess is you'd find a bank that would be willing to do it. Now, if a student doesn't want to take the time to fill out loan paperwork to get money so that they can buy a pizza when they want to, then that's your problem. Because guess what? At some point, you have to do a little bit of work with this.
And what if these athletes, how do they qualify? And we could get into that all day.
But again, how is that different from a government loan? What do you do to qualify for a government loan? You fill out the FAFSA.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're guaranteed at least $5,500.
Yeah. All right, that's a good point. That's a great point.
Make it a minimum FAFSA loan if you want to, whatever you want to do with the limits. Make them take out student loans. if we want to talk about student athletes as like every other student, let them take out a loan. Let them let a student loan program be there to give a low interest loan to help them get started. If that's the problem that you're trying to solve, that's the way to do it.
Okay. Now,
you're welcome, America.
Yeah, that was pretty simplistic. Well, not simplistic, but in the sense of you have it pretty cut and dry and go, here's how it goes, and this is how we should do it. I like your idea, and I think it's a great idea. Are there road bumps along the way?
I'm sure there's things I'm missing. Look,
I'm trying to think of some.
I was going to say, and on a podcast, when you present an idea, it's very easy to make it sound like I have all the answers. I'm sure there is something that I'm missing, but that's the one thing that I don't understand about this is why Jalen Rose couldn't be able to take out a few $1,000 loan. And again, if they're stupid with their money, well, that's on you. If you're going to go out and take that $5,000 loan and buy, you know, a TV and a PS4 and all this stuff, then you're going to have to go through all these struggles that a lot of other college students do.
Right. And that's frankly what a lot of college students do with the loans. The other question I have is you fill out a FAFSA, and even if you do, you no matter what, as you said, you qualify for that much money. Now, my question would be, does a FAFSA at all look at the amount of money you're getting to go to school? Because if you're looking at an athlete on a full ride.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why a FAFSA, you know, where there's different things with the NCAA where that might not be an option. And that's why you have this separate program for student athletes. That's why it's separate.
Okay. Would the NCAA look at that and go, could we do that? I mean, that's not been brought up.
I mean, doesn't that seem like it answers a lot of the criticisms, though? I mean, some
it answers
of them,
some,
not a lot. Not
it
all.
Answers the sum of it answers the criticisms of, hey, guess what? We can have these students
Get a little bit of money,
but
without having to, without, you know, going through the whole amateur thing.
But
it doesn't address, I'm sorry, one sec.
Oh, go ahead.
It doesn't address the, you know, they should make money if you're selling their likeness. I get that this doesn't address that. I'm addressing one part of the problem of, you know, they have literally no walking around money. This is a way for them to be able to get it. It doesn't address, should they be able to make money if the school is selling their likeness? That's a different conversation.
The other thing, too, is the health. I mean, basketball players' health maybe not be a major concern as it is in football.
Yep.
And the lasting effects of football. And you know what? Johnny Manziel, he's going to go on to an NFL career, as are numerous others. But what about the offensive lineman that started for 4 years, but his career is not in the NFL, and he's got to deal with major back surgery, major knee surgery, and he's not getting any money from college football or from, say, the University of Nebraska to help pay for that.
Sure.
And say a FAFSA, if that was to come to fruition, he has walking around money, but now he has to pay back that. Plus, he's going to have to pay back, how many medical bills.
And that's a whole separate conversation. Because way it goes right now is they're not getting that loan money, and yeah, do you have to pay loan money back? Yeah. But if you either get your college education, that increases your earnings potential by a very significant margin. Or if you do make it to the pros, between your first three paychecks, you can write a check and pay back that loan.
Right. But again, that you're looking at the very minimal percent.
That's the small percentage.
Small percentage.
The rest of the percentage have a college degree that is going to, in theory, give them a job where they will be able to pay that back.
True. But now, again, what you have to also remember is that you're dealing with, you know, a numerous amount of college athletes, not only at very highly profitable schools, but you're dealing with a lot of college athletes at schools that maybe don't make a profit off of athletics. And, you know, maybe make a profit off of one team, and then they're looking at that one team to front the bill. I think of the University of Idaho.
Okay.
I mean, how much money are they making off of their college athletics? In reality, they're not a successful team. And now you have to look at these guys as, okay, we're giving them rides, but if you want to pay college athletes, and that's why, you know, Tyler would say no, siding with his argument, now you're looking at maybe having conferences fund college athletes' pays. And now you're looking at conferences, weak conferences at that, going out of money because now they have to front the bill for the University of Kansas City.
And that's my question is because money just, it's, you know, we talk about these billions of dollars of the NCAA, but where does that money go?
Right.
Does anybody know? Somebody probably does.
A lot of back pockets.
You know, there's probably some of that, but is that going to all of a sudden stop because, oh, wait, you mean we need to start paying these athletes out of the NCAA money? Oh, well, the money that I'm kind of filtering out or that I'm spending, I'm going to give that back. It's probably going to go, you know, it's going to be the schools that are using it to build a new library or something like that.
Right.
That's where that money's going to all of a sudden come from. It isn't going to be from the people who are kind of being slime balls with it already. They're going to keep being slime balls.
Right.
So the laws of unintended consequences are way in play here.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
And the yes, and I say it and I wish it was that you could pay them because I look at athletes and I go, I'm buying a ticket to your game. I'm buying merchandise because you – maybe not you individually, but a group of you are good enough to make me care about this team. You're getting the university free publicity because you, yourself, and your team are doing so well that you're getting on TV for 2.5 hours. Yet the only thing you see from this is a scholarship for books and classes and tuition, which is a huge amount. I wish mine was paid for. I really do. But in the long run, you know, these guys are – they're doing a lot for the university, making a lot of money for the university and not seeing anything back.
Okay. And that's the other side of the conversation that I'm not addressing that. If you want to pay them for their likeness, okay. We don't have time to go into all the rabbit holes with this, but that's a different conversation. My little idea, all it addresses is how do we get it so that these players have enough money to be able to, you know, whatever, to go to Noodles and Company, get pasta rather than the dollar menu off of McDonald's.
You'd rather get ramen noodles.
That's
right,
yes,
exactly.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and I see that argument. And to me, it's not a black and white thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put on here the unionization of Northwestern, at least that's what they feel like they want to do. And I believe a judge or a district court or some kind of court said, yes, that's possible.
Well, if we're still hosting the Pinto and White Shadow Show in 2017, this is not going to be resolved.
No, it won't. This is a long, bloody battle.
Yep.
And
we'll see once these guys get out of college and start to have real jobs and all this stuff, we'll see how far they want to continue pursuing it. Maybe some will. Maybe.
Right.
But
I look at it, who's going to be the Kurt Flood that ruins their careers? And for those that don't know, Kurt Flood was a guy who played for the St. Louis Cardinals for about 10 years, and the Cardinals were done with him. Said, you know what? No, we're done with you. We own you, so we're going to trade you off to Philadelphia. Flood said, no, I don't want to go there. I want to be a Cardinal. I like playing here. I feel like I deserve rights to say yay or nay to a trade. Frankly, I feel like I have rights to decide where I can and cannot go. He ended his career essentially like that because nobody in the majors would sign him. Nobody in the majors would take him. But what he did was he created free agency essentially for Major League Baseball. And now we're at situations where, you know, Miguel Cabrera is getting mega deals because people are scared that, you know, he's going to sign with the New York Yankees, whatever. But that's what he initiated. And
he changed
baseball in that realm. That's where I look at what Northwestern is trying to do. Is somebody going to be that guy and go, look, I'm willing to put my entire career on the line for this one thing? There's somebody out there, there's teams out there, there's universities out there with the answer. The way I see it maybe going is that if universities were smart, what they would do is I kind of wish this would happen because the NCAA as a whole is corrupt in my mind, break away from the NCAA, you know, become a super college above, you know, whatever they want to call themselves, and just rule among themselves. And that way, individually, if Northwestern wants to go, you know, we're going to pay our student athletes, they can, because they're under their own rule.
Yeah. If people think that that's going to be solve all the problems is getting to the NCAA, I'm going to go on record as laughing at all of those people now, because that's only going to be fine until the next corrupt governing body or whatever that they decide to use takes over.
To me, I don't know if they do a governing body. They just do an individual.
Or if they just do, okay,
school by school, yeah. Well, I mean, not a free-for-all, but each school would police
themselves.
But
that's a free-for-all. I mean, really. Because then, because NCAA, it's like, okay, then you pay as much players as much as you want.
That's true. You know, become a major
it's
league.
A free-for-all. If you haven't, and I don't know if you got, if you saw the big article on SB Nation talking about the bagmen and these shadow backers and all these things at the college. If you haven't seen that, I believe it came out last Thursday or Friday. It's a very long read. It makes a Simmons column look like a haiku, and it's incredible article. It probably took me an hour, and I'm a relatively quick reader. 45 minutes an hour at least you'll want to carve out. I guarantee you it's worth it.
I'll have to do that.
I'm saying that to you and to all the listeners. Incredible, incredible piece. If you want to know how this happens, how do college players end up getting paid, phenomenal piece.
As much as you'd like to assume that college athletics is all very pretty and very nice and amateurism.
Read that article.
And at the Summit League level and at the Missouri Valley football level, it might be.
Maybe.
It might be.
Maybe.
But when you get into the Big Tens and the ACCs.
And especially the SEC.
And especially the SEC, you're going to notice a lot of guys doing a lot of different things to make sure their player gets to go to this school and that school is going to do a lot of different things, vice versa. It's been that way for years, decades, really.
Yep.
And how do you control it? I don't know.
And the answer to some people is, well, you just don't. Okay. Just be careful.
Exactly.
Careful what you're asking.
It to me, it gets a little bit hairy.
Yep.
And I think the NCAA, and this is another view why I believe it's corrupt, they pick and choose who they feel would be the most or the best person to make an example out of when it comes to these different things.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm being all ominous looking at you, taking the paper away, going, this is how it works.
All right.
So, yeah, we're done with the NCAA football talk. And as far as the giving your money back, and if you're required to graduate, I think that's a bad argument because
yes,
essentially, again, it goes back to the whole you made a ton of money for the university, yet because you didn't graduate, you have to give all your scholarship money back because you tried to make the –
appreciate the email, Tyler. I don't think we're with you on this one.
Yeah, it's a little tough to agree with you on that one. All right, NBA playoffs begin this weekend, I want to believe. Couple days away, two or so games left for a lot of teams.
Next week it starts, yeah.
Give me one player from each conference that is going to get noticed during the 2014 NBA playoffs. And I will say this, the playoffs haven't yet been decided in the West. Memphis and Phoenix separated by a game. But again, if Memphis wins and Phoenix loses, that's it. Memphis is in. But again, one player from each conference that's going to get noticed in 2014.
East, I'm going to go John Wall. It's a little bit bigger name than what I'd like to go with this, but I think Toronto's going to have their hands full with Washington if that's the way this first round matchup shakes up. I think it's going to be the Washington backcourt, John Wall, maybe less, and I'd go Bradley Beal with that as well. I think those guys are going to make a little bit of noise, and if they do end up facing Toronto, they're going to give Toronto some trouble. If they end up facing Chicago, never mind, because I think Chicago is going to destroy them. But it's kind of a little bit of a jumble right there. But if it ends up Toronto, Washington, whole lot of trouble.
I like Kyle Lowry.
Okay. You're also a Raptors guy.
I am. But again,
that's not a bad name, though.
It isn't. And the way this team has been playing, again, because they play in Toronto, they're the only team in the NBA that's not in the United States. They're not going to get a lot of attention. But they've had the best season. Or not the best season. They've had the most unexpected season that I can look at from any team really out there. And to be at third place in the Eastern Conference, in Brooklyn, we expected it. I think Washington's had a pretty unexpected season, but to have an opportunity to be the third seed in the Eastern Conference, that's impressive. Kyle Lowry's a big reason behind that, so I give him props.
Okay.
I say he's
okay.
A guy to watch for. All right, Western Conference.
I'm going to say...
this is tough.
Because, I almost kind of want to say Blake Griffin, just because I still think people don't think that he has anything other than a dunk game. And that's just not true if you've watched it all. But I'm going to go with maybe the most underrated power forward in the league. And I'll go LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't think the guy, you could remember him, seeing him in the All-Star game. You don't remember really anything about him, dude is good. The dude is really good. And I think that that 4-5 matchup that's locked in right now, Houston-Portland, is going to be a fun series. It's a Beach Boys series. Fun.
Nice.
I think it's going to be Aldridge. I think he's going to surprise some people.
And the reason I bring this up is because what Paul George did last year, he really put himself kind of on the map as a player. And that's what I look for yep. in this topic. And LaMarcus Aldridge would be the guy that you look at and go, yeah, okay.
He can make that leap.
He can make that leap into superstardom. And to me, the West is so tough to predict because you already know most of the names. And yeah. you already know a lot of the guys that are going to make it. But one guy that I look at that has really been under the radar since he came into the league, in my opinion, is Chandler Parsons.
That's a good name, too.
For the Rockets.
He's been starting to get a little bit of press, too.
He has been starting to get a little bit of press, but this guy can play. And he was a really good player. He was a do-it-all type of guy at the University of Florida. And he's the same way here at Houston. You know, 4 assists a game, 5 rebounds a game, averages 16 points a game. It's pretty good. A steal a game. He does a really good job of doing a lot of different things for the Rockets. I don't know what you're doing right now. Why do you got to do that? I'm going to flow, and then you just interrupt me with your whole seat changing. Okay. Chandler Parsons for me. You've just ruined the seriousness of this whole thing.
You're welcome.
Not that we're ever serious on it.
Yeah.
Last topic for me, and if you have any others, Brad, don't hesitate to take them up, but Major League Baseball. I'll pull up Tyler's email. Sorry. Major League Baseball, Ryan Braun's standing ovation to open up the season irked me. Did it irk you?
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
As a fan, sit on your butt.
For 8 years?
Yes.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on,
what? The guy lied.
Yes.
The guy lied to your face and you're going to give him a standing ovation?
Baseball players have and athletes in general have been doing that for a long time. Politicians, GMs, everybody's been doing it for a long time. Does it excuse it? No. But again, you're going to sit on your hands for 8 years for this
guy? Yes, I will. Absolutely. I think every type of praise that is sent his way is undeserved.
Okay, that's fine. Is he a jerk? Is he a grade A whatever hole? Yep.
He is.
Yes. But you've had that guy on a team that you've played for before where you just look at the guy and he plays dirty. He's just everything about him, that the way he plays, the way he handles himself, you just can't stand. But he's on your team. And what are you going to do? He may be a something hole, but he's your something hole. And what are you really doing? What are you accomplishing by doing that? Taking some big moral high ground?
Yeah.
I mean,
look, one is not going to accomplish a lot. I get it.
Okay.
But to me, it's the principle of the fact. And, everybody's going to say, well, there are a lot of people out there that have cheated, and I get that.
And it doesn't excuse it.
It
and
doesn't.
I'm the first one to agree with you on that line. But
you're looking at a guy who is taking the Brewers for, nine figures. He's got to be paying hundreds of millions of dollars right now.
Oh, yeah.
And signed the contract knowing that he was cheating while he signed that contract, made big money off of it, gets caught, lies about being caught. Then he goes, yeah, I guess I did it. I'm sorry, everybody. Please forgive me.
Yeah, my bad for ruining this guy's life.
My bad.
The guy whose job is to collect urine samples.
Right.
And I'm going to destroy his life. Great work, buddy.
He took it to the extreme.
I get all that.
He took it to the extreme with this. And that's why I look at that and go, how do you give this guy a standing ovation? Because in my mind, it essentially tells you as an athlete, look, if I'm halfway decent at my job or at this game, I'm going to drug up a little, get that edge, make millions of dollars, hit
checks.
My payday,
yep.
and then, take a year off or so.
And I can see it too, if you just give him the normal round of applause that you would give him when he comes up. You can't sit on your hands for 8 years. That's just, that's not even semi-realistic. But the standing ovation, I can see that of, okay, he comes up, Ryan Braun, yay. You give him, you know, you give him the same thing that you always would have given him. That would have been a little better than the standing O, but I don't think you can just sit on your hands for that long if you're a Brewers fan, because then you're taking the fun out of cheering for your own team.
There's eight other guys at play.
But there's still always going to be that, oh, Braun's coming up. That's always going to be there. And you know that's the way it is.
What would be beautiful is, and what would have been beautiful is if he came up and they announced his name, and instead of a standing ovation or booing him, nothing.
Yeah.
Essentially saying, you're dead to us. What you've done to us as fans is not okay.
So and I'm just gonna take silence, and
I get it. It's just not gonna happen. It's just
okay.
It's not.
So here's the thing, and I'm probably taking this down a road that I maybe shouldn't, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
All right.
What about a guy who does something similar, and it's a little different because we have video, but of what Ray Rice did.
And to me, that's completely different. And here's why: because he didn't cheat at the game. There are people out there that do horrible things in their personal life, in their personal lives, that I don't condone.
Yeah.
But when it comes to what they do on the football field, it's separate. If you want to cheer for a guy because of how he performs on the football field, that's one thing. But if you want to tell me that, for instance, Ray Lewis is an outstanding guy and an upstanding citizen, and I look up to him, and I've had an issue with this for years, but I look up to him, and I hope my kids look up to him. That is just dumb. That is just a stupid thing to do.
No, I agree
with
that.
You have to separate morality from athleticism. But what Ryan Braun did was he didn't separate it.
Okay, but Ray Lewis is an example, though, because it's a prime example, because he was pretty sure he was using something to get back for that Super Bowl.
Has it been proven? Again, did he lie about it? We don't know. We don't know the facts. And I'm going to base my judgment off of, maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Okay.
We know about Ryan Braun. You know black and white what he did, what he lied about, and what he used to profit off. If it comes out that Ray Lewis did, okay, we'll deal with it
but
then.
Again,
but if you're dealing with...
So this whole thing, it's such a wormhole that we're going down. I can't just say, because you cheated, even though, guess what? You did great on the field, but because you cheated on the field somehow, I'm not going to cheer for you. It's taking away from my enjoyment of the game at that point. If we find out that, that some Bison player was caught using a performance enhancing drug that we cheered for, and he comes back, are we just every time that player touches a ball? What if it's a running back? And every time that running back touches the ball, we're gonna sit on our hands. If it's all about what he did on the field, he did really well on the field.
But again, you're looking at it in a sense where I can separate between what Ray Rice does in his personal life.
But get away from that. Get away from that point. That's fine. What if it is? So if John Crockett is caught using some performance enhancing drug, then every time he touches the ball when he comes back, we're sitting on our hands.
Yes.
And you think that's even semi reasonable to expect?
It's not realistic to expect. No, it's not. I agree with you. The reason it irked me is for reasons I've already given, that it's just it's a sign of respect, the standing ovation for a guy that lied to your face.
I agree. So I think there's the middle ground here. I agree that the standing ovation, okay. I still think not cheering for him is too far. If you give him the silent treatment? I think that's too far to give him a silent treatment. If you give him the normal, yay, and that's it, and you don't give him that standing O.
If some guy were to lie to you at work or in your personal life, and again, we'll go down this route, are you going to shake his hand next time you see him or slap him on the back or say, hey, man, I respect you? If he lied to you and
took
money out of your pocket, what she did from fans, you can't really argue about that point.
Yes, I can.
How? Because Brewer fans... How many of them paid for a Ryan Braun jersey specifically? How many of them paid for a ticket to go to a Brewer game specifically to see Ryan Braun because they felt he was a good player and they felt like he was doing it without cheating, without saying, hey, I'm not using anything to get better here. This is just Ryan Braun. This is just me in the flesh, baby. I'm this good.
Then you're naive. I'm sorry. You're naive.
How many players have out there that have done this but haven't been or have been proven not to have done stuff like this. Like Let's take a guy for like Joe Mauer, for instance.
Okay.
Now,
what do you know about Joe Mauer?
You're telling me that he's done drugs?
I'm telling you that if it came out that Joe Mauer has done performance-enhancing drugs, would it rock my world and just blow my socks off and surprise me? The only player that's in that in baseball is Derek Jeter. That's it. That's the list. Anybody else? I'm numb to it at this point. And if you're not somewhat numb to that and don't realize that that's at least a possibility, then that's on you. That's just complete naivety on your part. I'm sorry. I know I'm taking an uber cynical look at this, but how many times does it have to happen to people before you realize that, hey, guess what? This is a real possibility for everybody. I mean, it just, that's the risk that you take when you buy it. And I, you know, if your feelings get hurt and you realize that pro sports isn't this clean land full of rainbows and butterflies that you thought it was, and it can happen to everybody else, but oh no, it can't happen to our guy. That's on you. I'm sorry. That's on you.
A lot of fans feel that way. A lot of fans think that way, that, oh man, of course it's going to happen because it's Barry Bonds.
Every other kid's going to do something wrong, but wait, you're accusing my kid of doing something wrong? Absolutely not. No way. No, you know what we call that? Hey, you know what? That's sheltering your kids.
But that's,
this is no different.
But
it's,
that's how
it's not going to happen
feel.
To
that's,
my guy.
That's how the fans
but
of certain teams
but
feel.
What I'm saying is that's on you. That's not on the player. That's your fault for investing in the jersey and thinking that, my gosh, this is some sort of role model. You know what he can't take away from you? Watching him hit a walk-off home run. Watching him steal the base. He can't take those memories away if they're tainted. Well, guess what? Sometimes that's the way it goes. One more example. When you date a girl for 3 years and everything goes great and then all of a sudden it turns out she's cheating on you and you break up, does it taint the previous 3 years? Yeah, a little bit, but guess what? That's life. I mean, it's the way it goes, man.
Only in the Pinto and White Shadow Show could you take a three-year relationship and make it a Ryan Braun thing.
I think it works.
In a sense, yes.
Yes.
And I feel like we got down a whole different path than I wanted to go down with this. I just wanted to get down the mist. I just wanted to get down the fact that it irked me and get on my, you know, high horse for a second at least.
Yes.
And the morality thing, I don't know if I can argue with that, and the expectations of fans being, you know, muddied because they want their player to be perfect while other players are. I get all that. But at some point, it just is annoying, if nothing else, that fans of teams, a majority of them, will go, yeah, we're okay with this.
I think fans have been very well proven to say we don't give too many things about it. I mean, I think that's been pretty well proven over the years.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Again, it comes like the pain of college athletes, like many things in sports. You just go, it is what it is. We can sit here and argue about it till we're blue in the face. But again, majority rules and majority says.
And if the majority is going to stand up and give Ryan Braun a standing ovation,
they're sure as heck going to give him a standing ovation. Yeah. And we're not going to change it. One guy, another guy in Fargo, North Dakota is not. You stink at the game. Are not going to change how Brewer fans feel. But again, Ryan Braun's having a heck of an opener. You know, he's doing well in these 2 weeks.
Short memory.
Brewer fans are happy. Best team in baseball right now, record wise.
Yeah.
Ryan Braun, kind of at the forefront of that. So be it. It might be also, too, I'm really ticked off the Twins would give up on Carlos Gomez that early, and now he's an MVP-type player. How do you do that? How do you do that? Now we got Aaron Hicks in center field. We're hoping on some 19-year-old to be good. No. This was the 038 podcast. Glad you sat down and listened to it. Marcus and Mayville, thank you for the comments. Tyler in Tanzania this week, maybe somewhere else next week, but he's really in Kentucky. Thank you for the email. If you want to comment, be a part of the show, send us an email at pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com or put a comment on the comment section, the podcast page at kfgo.com. We're also on iTunes. We're on Twitter. I'm at pintokfgo. Brad Jones.
At the Bison Guy.
Find these postings on Facebook. We put them on 740 The Fan's Facebook page and 790 KFGO's Facebook page. Like those. You'll see these posts. Oh, we'll post out the podcast once a week when we do it. So, for Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Gutterson saying thank you very much and enjoy the rest of whatever you're doing today.
Hey, look-